Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective.
We know what God's revealing to us is that, you know, I can see him because he sat up under the bridge with her, you know, as she's homeless. And her story is that she was on a particular drug addiction and she had to leave Washington, D.C., which I think there's a lot of people on drugs in Washington, D.C. And then and then comes to get away, you know, and here, you know, when he goes to spy out the land, you know, in the early processes of going to Pittsburgh and hearing God, and it's, you know, it's about to manifest all of the faith and all of the deeds. And and with that, that that to go back now with the God's perspective of the poor and realize that she is Lazarus. And that sitting under that bridge with the right perspective, you know, is, you got to get that, because everybody in Pittsburgh are the same to God.
Right.
And quite often, it's not a hard thing to explain to poor people that that they're okay with God. It's just hard to explain to the rich people that they're not any more important or any better than the person who doesn't have anything at this point in time. As a matter of fact, what you do, and this is the really interesting thing about that, is the fact that if you look at Jesus is telling the story. Jesus is the one telling it. And he said nothing and did nothing unless he heard his father say it or do it. And so this is a very important thing. You know, and he confirms it also. He said, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me or didn't do. But he said this about the rich man and Lazarus. Long story short, Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. But they didn't say he was in adultery. They didn't say he was, you know, doing something wrong. I mean, it just said that his viewpoint of mankind was wrong and he did not share his possessions.
Right.
Things that God had given him, did not share it with Lazarus.
Right.
Because Lazarus was wanting to eat the food that just fell from his table, and he had dogs licking his sores, and and you know, Mother Teresa really had this.
Yeah, you know, she gave her life to the poor and to the unborn, and when we can live a life like that, that's totally surrendered to say, you know what, every person on the face of the earth has value. Yeah, I remember one of her quotes is so awesome. One of her quotes is that if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them. And we got to be careful that we're not judging the poor. We're not looking at them and saying, how did you get there? And how did you arrive there? And what happened to you? And
we,
if I
are
give you
them.
This dollar, are you going to buy drugs with that dollar?
Right.
Are you
going
to, and we're going to love them and take care of them, because that's what God called us to do.
Yeah.
And you look at the church and you look at some of the recent statistics from George Barna. You know, did you know that the more income they've did this research, I think the believers are more, they made like between $50,000 to $70,000 and above, they actually tithe a less percentage than the person that tithe in the income range was you know, a little bit lower, you know, actually significantly lower. And the thing is that, the conclusion of the research was that the wealthy Christians were trusting in their richness and were not trusting in God.
Right.
And the person that had less was able to have total dependency upon God, even the less that they had to say, I'm just going to honor God with it. We just got to get a right perspective on what God is saying.
You know, and thinking about that, John, like you're saying, it's having the right perspective of Jesus's perspective of the rich man and the poor man. And so often, especially in America, we can get blinded by what we see in the natural, whether it be a building or clothes or something. And I remember when I first came to the Lord, I was just so hungry for the things of God, and I just wanted to just share his love with everybody and do what I can. And in that, I had such a concern for, all of a sudden, it was like homeless people became known to me. it was like all of a sudden, it's like my eyes were just open to that. There are homeless people in my own city. And I began to think about it. And I'm like, I have never noticed homeless people. I never have. I was 28 years old. And all of a sudden, I was just like, I want to do something. And I found out that there was a, it was during the Christmas season. And I wanted to, there was a, kind of like a group that was like handing out food to the homeless people. You can go downtown and they had everything set up and people would call ahead of time and say, I need food. And they would, you would bring food to them. And on this route, there was a specific residence, an address that we had difficulty finding. And he had asked for like, 8 or 9, you know, servings of food, I guess for a large family. Mm-hmm. And we finally find this address and it was back behind, you know, the driveway was long, you know, the grass was high. It was an quote unquote unkept house. It wasn't clean as far as somebody might originally think about. We get to the house and there's trash all over the front door, all over the patio, the door's cracked open. So I knock on the door and I'm like, hello, is anybody home?
Mm-hmm.
And an elderly man comes to the door. He's in crutches. It doesn't smell clean. He's very unkept, missing most of his teeth. Looks like he hasn't bathed.
Mm.
And I said, hey, I said, how you doing, man? And he looks at me and he has got the biggest glimmer shine in his eyes,
mm-hmm.
the biggest smile.
Wow.
And he looks at me with just the most biggest, just display of gratitude, and he just says, I'm blessed and I'm just thankful to be here.
Think about it, the poor, they're so rich in faith,
right? And look. and we talked briefly and I handed and we talked and I gave him the food that we had for him, and he was just so grateful to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and in that, it was just like my paradigm was just shifting. Mm-hmm. In a moment. And as I left, got back in my car, and God speaks to me. And he said, that's a rich man.
Wow. Exactly.
And I mm-hmm. just started crying. I just started weeping. And it's just like, we miss it. We mm-hmm. have it upside mm-hmm. down.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, God said, that is a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mm-hmm. just like, riches is not, you know, your paycheck. Mm-hmm. Riches is not, you know, your 4,500 square foot house, or, you know, the size of your car, or the amount of acreage that is put on your asset list on your financial asset. It's like, no, richness is the kingdom of God. Richness is in the things of Christ and his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Are you rich in your relationship with Jesus? Because I'll tell you what, when that man said that to me, I was just beginning a journey of just like, God, reveal to me your riches.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it just... God is good.
Awesome.
It's powerful.
Well, think about, you know, when you look at what happened to Israel, you know, under Hitler and how they came and oppressed the Jews, and they took away their businesses, took away their homes,
mm-hmm.
took them into the ghettos, packed them into houses, you know, took them into trains. They took him to the concentration camps.
Yeah, right.
And in that, the mm-hmm. concentration camps, they even killed them and shot them with firing squads, and took them into showers. They looked like a shower. Then they sprayed chemicals on them to kill them. Then they burned them, and then they degraded them so much they wouldn't even look at them like they had value. You know, a guard would come out and I don't know, what's the movie, Schindler's List. I mean, you've got to see that to get a perspective. But you know, they would come out and just, this one particular guard would come out and stand on his balcony and just start shooting at them like they were ducks. And they wouldn't even give them. If you watch Schindler's List, you know, and you need to watch it with your parents' permission, but you need to watch it to understand that that's what Satan thinks of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Church. You know, that's what Satan thinks of you. And you think you got a partnership with him. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he hates you. And he wants you to feel like you're nothing and you don't exist and you're devalued and all these things that so many people are blaming everybody else for. It's actually Satan telling you that directly, and he's accrediting it to people around you, making you think right. they're the ones doing it, so you can be divided from the very people that's going to give you hope.
Mm-hmm.
But in that, you know, when you're, I'm watching clips, you know, we have a teaching series about, you know, seeking God's perspective of Israel. And in that, we're playing clips about when the soldiers, American soldiers, freed them from the concentration camps. They were so neglected. They were so, you know, it was just terrible mm-hmm. what took place, that they had them all sit down in groups, and they started giving them their soldiers gave them like candy bars and different things mm-hmm. like that. And like this one lady, she takes this candy bar. This is actual thing happening. Mm-hmm. This is not Schindler's List. This is footage from the soldiers coming and free them. And she takes this candy bar like she will never have a candy bar again in her life. Mm. And she takes it and she goes and she hides it. Mm. I mean, to the lowest common denominator. Satan wants to take you down to the lowest common denominator of your life. And mm. her hope was that she thought she would never. I mean, she was gracious that she got that. But this is the big thing. And that's huge. I mean, but listen to what I'm about to say in comparison to what we're talking about. And then one soldier just looks over in the eyes of one of those Jews that were sitting there, you know, waiting to be fully freed or whatever, and just gives her a kind look. That's it. And she just begins to weep.
Mm.
The Jewish lady begins to weep because it's like she was like she did not even exist.
Yeah.
And even a kind look. A kind look. She was grateful to God because somebody realized I exist. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a kind look. You know, I'm telling you, you know, I challenge you to walk around, look in the mirror quite often, but it's just people are so aware of their own looks. When they look at themselves in the mirror, they give themselves a real good look. But when they look at you, it's like the world's falling apart. And it's like, well, I'm just thinking. It's like when you look at yourself, you're not just thinking.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need some kind looks. We
tell
need somebody.
Tell your face to smile, please. Yeah,
tell
please
us tell that. You know, let's put some duct tape on that puppy and pull it up with a smile going on. But hey. when you put a mirror in front of their face, it's just like bing.
Pearly
white. It's
like,
you have been fooled. You only smile at yourself. You know, and that we got to start giving people gracious looks.
Yeah.
You know, we have to start again, you know, saying, you know, that we are thankful, just like this man that Steve's talking about, that God can put us in a place in our life. If we're not grateful now with what we have, he can take us in a place where we have nothing and we'll be the most grateful person in the world. But why do we have to go through all? Why don't we just say thank you now? Why don't we share our possessions now? Yeah. Why don't we just quit? You know, stop playing church and start to be the church, which is the body of Christ, and be his hands extended, and understand that, you know, share. If only 97%, according to George Barna, are even, you know, giving to God, you know, they're not giving to the poor. I mean, come on, we got to begin to just give. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just be freely, you know, we receive. We need to freely be able to give that and understand gratitude. That. And just, you know, it's the love we have for each other and our compassion that says that we're Jesus's. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that if we're not loving God, I mean, obviously we're not Jesus's, and we're not a great witness and love is obedience to the Lord. And if we're not loving each other, we're not obeying the commandment. Right.
Right.
And it's so simple. It's so simplistic, but it requires you to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just how simple it is. But the problem is we're not in that equation. But he said, listen, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, you can have no part of him. But it's okay, because if you love God and love others, God will love you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, right, quote, just a mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness, right, but you're actually bringing light into that area. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision, mm-hmm, about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If God, if the creator of the universe, who is preparing the wedding banquet for you, if he loves you, I mean, come on.
That's some good
love. You think about that. And not only that, he'll love you through the very people that you are loving for him, because he dwells inside of them.
That's right.
It's just a beautiful thing. Everybody, so many people are waiting, well, you love first. It's like, well, that ain't going to happen. God's not going to let that happen for you, because it's the wrong motives. It's the wrong motives that he's beating himself with a mic. He's like, hey, go boom, 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 boom.
Hey,
he's
like, oh, he's like, over there, man. No, you're Marine.
I'm telling you, well, he's running in place. He hit himself in the head with a mic, kicking it with his foot. It's like, oh my goodness.
Hold him down over there. He's excited.
He likes to spin his chair when he talks. That's what it is.
Like, does
spin.
He? Oh, is that what he's doing? Is he dancing over there? Right.
We don't have that energy. We just kind of like, you know, just hit stationary. But watch my lips. Watch my lips.
Yeah, I'm strapped in the chair. Right. Me up.
Yeah, right, right. I see your abs, man. That thing's really working right now.
Hey, man.
That barbed wire fence. But understanding that when the soldier just looked at her, after all those years of being mistreated and being everything taken from her. You know, we're gonna be grateful. Let me tell you something.
It's coming.
Gratitude's coming.
It's coming.
I mean, gratitude is coming. Mm-hmm. The question is, are we gonna choose to be grateful now? Mm. Are we gonna wait till somebody gives us a chocolate bar and a kind look? Mm-hmm. But gratitude's gonna come.
I'm telling you. That's why one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. You know, it's like, why are we sweating what our neighbor has? This is what America's doing. You know, they got a new car, so I need to get a new car. And we're measuring our lives by what the commercials tell us, by what our neighbors drive, and by what our coworkers are doing, and what we're not looking at the world, and we're not recognizing that we are the most blessed people on the face of the earth.
Well, I don't think this generation today even understands the word covet. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, well, covet, it's like, you know,
come up with a different
wanting
word,
in
different
your
semantic.
Heart is that deep
come
desire
with a,
to,
come up with a
to have.
Let's think of a different semantic than that, because that's such a, they file that away.
Kind of like jealousy. It's like what you were saying before, and you know, you see what someone else has, and you are no longer thankful for what you're given.
Yeah, you want it. It's exactly. That great desire to have something that you don't have. It's like a deep envy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you're not satisfied, and it's like a comparison, or you got to have it. It's like, that's all America. I mean, think about it.
It's a lot of America, right.
I mean, you know, look at children. I'm sorry. But you look at children, and they have a toy, and immediately they see someone else's toy, and they just drop it. They cry, and they say, I want your toy.
That sounds like a lot of big children.
Does that happen to children too? I'm thinking, does that happen to children too?
Yeah, does that happen to children? And it's like, you're right. If we don't learn gratefulness on this side, you know, that's what content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. When we start to appreciate that everything that we have comes from the hand of God. We've been living a life that's taken so much pride for the things that we have. You know, one of the greatest things to do is just sit in your house and just look at the things that you've been blessed with. And realize, wait a minute, it wasn't my strength that this was God who provided this. When we make that shift in our mind, we realize, man, we are blessed, and God has equipped us with everything that we need.
Mm-hmm. But John, you can only do that when you start giving something away. So don't you know? Think if you put all your stuff from A to Z, and A is what's most precious to you, and Z is the least precious to you, then what the church has been doing to this point is giving away the Z's.
That's right.
Disease.
Yeah. Giving up the messed up shoes to missions and the, you know what I'm saying? All this other stuff.
Yeah. Think about it. Disease. Anyway, so, but then, you know, go and then what you said was most valuable to you, and practice now by giving it away. Give away your A.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it yet, give away your B.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep giving it away, and you'll be happy with your Z. I mean, just keep. Until you understand the people that you're giving to is just as important to you, and the guy is for an audience of one, and you're trying to get your heart in alignment, start giving stuff away. Just, I don't care if you don't have, listen, America thinks it's all about money. God says it's about increase. So if God's giving you, you know, 5 or 10 oranges, give one orange away.
Mm-hmm.
If you, and then that's your tithe. So then give away 5 other oranges as an offering. You know,
that's right.
You know, if he gives you a car, give somebody a ride to work and know that every day you're giving them a ride to work, that you're saying thank you to God because he gave you that car. It's an increase.
That's
I mean, there's so many different ways to be able to thank God, you know. And before we go to a break here just for a moment, I want to be able to welcome Mike and Denver and Teresa and Keith and oh, so many new listeners, Cindy. I mean, as we're listening right now, we have these great listeners, you know, Hector.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so glad to have you guys joining us and connecting to us. And we're excited about walking this out together. We're excited about bringing this where there's hope. Mm-hmm. There's hope for America. There's hope for the world. There's hope for the church. If, in fact, we hear the voice of the Lord, which is one of a loving Father saying, come back to me. We'll be right back.
We're talking about gratefulness. And
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
It's so good.
Well,
if
you think about it, well, enter in his courts for gratitude. Enter his courts for gratitude, understanding that when somebody comes to you and all they do is whine, you know, you just don't want to hear it. I mean, if you did all that stuff for them, and they're not, I mean, it's just like...
Complaining breaks me out into an itch.
I mean, didn't you just drive here in a car... You know, didn't you have gas in your tank, and didn't you just eat this morning? And I mean, start with something that you're grateful for when you're talking to God. You know, are you an American? I mean, come on. I mean, we're living in the top 3% of the world if you're American. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something to be thankful for. And when we compare, like what we're talking about with Lazarus, when we're talking about, you know, the man that Steve saw when he was handing out the food. You know, just being grateful. It's amazing how many people are who have a whole bunch of things and stuff and all that they're not grateful.
Mm-hmm.
They're miserable. It's like, I mean, you got all this stuff and things and cars and everything you can imagine, and you're miserable. And it's like, you know, start over again.
Yeah.
You know, start over again. And with that, when you start over again, get rid of everything. Just give it all away. Mm-hmm. And with that, you can begin to appreciate the things that God gives. He says about this, I believe it is in Amos chapter 2, that he says specifically that he will take everything away from you and then begin to give them back one by one until you're grateful. You know, and it's like, you know, sometimes we have to do that ourselves. Just get rid of everything and begin again.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. And those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But joining me this morning, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Juan. Good morning. Hey. Good morning, John Paul.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. Yeah, and you know, that's far as I got. I passed the first test in Spanish, and the second one, you know, they had Google, right? the translator or something, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, is it?
I'm telling you what, it's totally amazing. It looks like where, you know, when you think about in the beginning when, you know, man started going their own way, the fall in the garden. Of course, it ended up with Nimrod, some people that, you know, Pat had studied early on in his walk, I think two hours into his walk, the beginning of time, and Nephilim. And all that. That, you know, they were going to build a tower. They were going to build a Trump Tower. No, they were going to build a tower because, you know, they were going to build it all the way to heaven. That's what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, man's always trying to build higher than the next one and the next tallest building. And a lot of our tallest buildings in the world is nothing but men's pride competing, you know. Mm. If it can't be bigger or taller, it'll be supposed to be plusher or nicer. With that, God says specifically, we need to just go down there and check this out, you know, send somebody down there because they got one vision, one direction that they're going to accomplish because we're creating the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. Even a fool can accomplish his folly, even though that will all end in hell. We have this great ability to create. Mm-hmm. We can create good, or we can create bad. And so they said, listen, you know, it's happening. So what's going on? They're building it. And he says, well, go down there, and I want you to go and just confuse their language. I want, you know, all of a sudden I want people to speak like different languages, whatever mm-hmm. those instantly just poured out, and God just changed people's mindset, and all of a sudden they began to speak different languages. And when you can't communicate, anybody that's married knows that you got to practice in your communication skills, right? Oh, that's just a marriage. Imagine what a nation is like, or a group of people that all of a sudden you're just kind of like signing to them, or, you know, somebody looks at you and they're speaking Russian, you know, mm-hmm. and you're American, so you can sometimes barely speak English. And somebody from Lubbock, Texas sent something about that. I got to find that. But he talks about, if you speak three languages, this is probably you. If you speak one language, this is probably you. If you speak only one language, you're probably American, mm-hmm. right? And, of course, that's not true of all Americans, but the majority of them. Mm-hmm. And so he confused all the language. And what happened was, it breaks men. When men can't communicate, it stops men's plans. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, men are always attempting, how can we break this God code, you know, that he put a lockdown on the ability of men to really stay together a long period of time to be able to accomplish evil goals. Mm-hmm. It's funny how, you know, you can always hang in there and realize, even though it looks like the evil man's going to make it, eventually he's going to turn in on himself, because mm-hmm. his whole people under him are going to get prideful and want to take over, and just all those different things that happen, and it won't last long. There'd be a common goal for a while, and then the whole caliphate will turn in on itself. Anyway, so, but so of course Google now has a translator that actually takes, you know, you're sitting here talking to anybody in the world to a language you never spoke before, mm-hmm. and you just take their text, what they emailed to you, or they're chatting with you, and it automatically, you pick the language that they are and the language you are, and it just comes into, you know, enough interpretation to know what they're talking about. And that's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Very amazing.
That's an amazing thing. But that's man's attempt, and it's still flawed, and it's still, mm-hmm. you know, because even we don't even know the definitions of our own words. So you can imagine when two different, you know, people are talking. But then let me tell you about this. But there was a day that when Jesus's ministry was finished on earth, and he started ascending slowly up and going towards the Father, and they're looking at him, and he says, you know, as he's going, some angels appear, and they say, well, you know, what are you doing here looking up? This same Jesus that's left is going to come again. And he told them all gather in a particular place, upper room, and he talks about it in Acts. But what happened in Acts is the birth of the church in the beginning of the book of Acts. What was blown up in the Tower of Babel, the inability for men to understand each other, when the church was birthed in Acts, in the beginning of the Acts, which means the Acts of the church, is the freshest look at the church and it's operating, is that all of a sudden, through the same God that confused the language in the beginning, now the Holy Spirit filled men and they began to speak in other tongues that other men began to understand them. They were speaking in tongues they didn't even know about, another language, languages they didn't know. And all of a sudden people, because everybody was gathered from all around the world, you know, different nations there to be able to worship. And so they're hearing their own language. And so it's like, wow, the confusion that came out of the pride of men, the Tower of Babel and Babylon and all these things you're hearing, that's where all that comes from. The Babylonian captivity, you know, men end up in Babylonian captivity when they actually start moving in pride and all that stuff. But the birth of the church was that God fixed, he fixed Babylon. He fixed it. The church fixes it. When you give your life to God, he will fix what happened years and years and thousands of years ago, because when you give your life and your heart to God, he has the ability, no matter where you are in the world, when you find another brother or sister in the Lord, I mean, you don't never seen each other day in your life, but just not even saying a word, you're just radiating the same language and you're so glad to be together because it's the same God that's in you is the same God that's in him or her. It's just an awesome thing. I remember ministering in Denmark and, you know, I didn't speak obviously Danish, and very interesting language. And we were all over Denmark.
What does it sound like?
What's that?
What does it sound like?
Iski buski luski diski. Grown folk, like MMA wrestlers, kind of go, and it's just like, it just like throws you off. It's like they're talking and then they go, you're going like, oh, check, check. Anyway, but we were just in love with Jesus. We were ministering, praying for them, and they're writing all about it in Danish in their papers and all that. But even though we didn't speak the Danish language, we spoke the language of God, which is love and a desire for Jesus. And that's what we had in common. So you know, the confusion that happened at the Tower of Babel was fixed at the birth of the church. So I want to encourage you that if you're living a life that just seems like nobody understands you and you don't understand anybody, that's really a self-focus. I mean, you're really focused on yourself, believe it or not. And when you just go to God and say, you know what, I'm ready to fix all this confused language and communication in my life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want the church to be birthed in me. I want Jesus to be birthed in me. I want to accept the Lord today, just like they did in the book of Acts. And I want to be able to talk to people where they understand. And I want to be able to understand what people are saying. And that'll happen when your mind's no longer blinded by the God of this world. And the blinders are off your eyes, because the second you are born again, you see, you understand, you can see clearly. As we were sharing yesterday, when Pat was sharing his testimony about the Brownsville outpouring, the second he got saved, he knew what sin was, even though he hadn't read anything about sin. And everywhere he looked, there was sin. He was a bad man. He was a very bad man. And he ended up in a closet eating tuna fish and crackers, but we'll talk more about that in the future. Right?
Yep, sure did.
Ooh, I'm telling you.
Can't wait to hear that.
I'm telling you. And so I want to encourage you, realize that when you hear about Babylon and you hear about Babylonian captivity and you hear about Nebuchadnezzar, this is all that whole lineage of all what started with building a tower that ended up in confusion. And confusion's fixed. God is a God of order and he's not a God of confusion. And the devil is the one who likes to confuse and bring chaos. You know, you'll find somebody that's, they may be religious, but they're bound by the devil, or they're somebody who's in the world that's bound by the devil. And how they get things to go their way is they walk in talking 10,000 words a minute, saying nothing, putting a huge cloud of chaos and confusion. It's like Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel. And then all of a sudden, while your head's spinning, if you don't understand or discern this, they turn it. They turn the ship. They turn the car. They turn the ministry. They turn the workplace. They turn the relationship. They turn the marriage. They turn the family. And it's like you have to understand that when confusion comes in, that it's to stop things, to turn things. And God's got a peace and order. I mean, look at Jesus when he talks about, look at the rocks, look at the thorns, look at the sea, look at the water, look at the children. I mean, it's not that complicated. The simplicity of the gospel. It's not simple. But it's simple to understand. You know, it's a huge price that was paid, but it's just powerful.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, you know, when we were putting the sails up in the Navy.
All right.
We can sell the five C's. You know, that's a graduate of the school system today. There's seven C's. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the. And they did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out because I would catch the. I'd ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard, and I would ride it to the subway, and then I'd catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO. And I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there called Bojangles Chicken. Oh my goodness. I'd eat their chicken, okay. But their biscuits. Oh.
That's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know if they're still around, but
they are, because I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh.
And it was still just good. And I'm like, I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need it. The car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." It's like, she conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay," you know. And we went there, and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cook their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So, you know, I'm young, I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits, and so I go down there. And go out to catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York.
Safe.
Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you.
Right.
Anyway. Remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so they give me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military. Mm-hmm. It was right there, I think, on the Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Oh, wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and these old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, if we're going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay down the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. I ate all these biscuits. And I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there, I give my $12 or whatever it was. And I go, and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's like a lot of different rooms in there. And you can hear hard floors. You can hear like things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Uh-huh. I'd eaten, I don't know, eight biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh, okay.
So I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh, no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow-sounding, 16-foot, no-door, 15,000 rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh,
so you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like. To have a baby, because I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop.
Oh,
I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you.
Did they throw you out?
I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had two pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had one biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom, right?
It was good. It was good. It was good, but I know better than that now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
If you want to review what's taking place in America, our founding fathers, the original intent of how things are designed and how, you know, presently there's a scheme, there's a plan going on to surpass your every representative that you put in place to look after you, which means you got to start looking after you. If our representatives allow themselves to be looked over, then you're going to have to look.
Right.
You know, you can't say, shame on you. You let me be taken captive and take my first rights away, First Amendment rights away. You know, it's like, no, shame on us.
Right.
We need to get involved because this is a government by the people and for the people. Mm-hmm. We cannot blame government when we're the ones that put them there.
That's right.
But we can change government that lines up with our values, you know, the values of our founding fathers. And that's what's so beautiful about the design, that, you know, if we do make mistakes and things are happening that are contrary to our value system, although we'll suffer for a while, that, you know, with that, we can recover. We can recover by begin to change. And it takes a while to change. I mean, it takes a while. I like the way President Reagan, when he came in, He just started going by the law. He started going by the law and just said, okay, fine. If you're going to go on strike, you're fired. But he did. He fired all the air traffic controllers because we've got to undo this thing that says the very people that we elected to represent us, we can't let employees that work for us in the tax dollar determine our tax base, because they now are unionized and they're telling the unions, the federal unions now, are telling the taxpayer in a roundabout way that you're going to have to pay more taxes because we have a union and you can't pay us less, you can't fire us, you can't do this. And so now, and it was said, FDR said in the very beginning, you know, he said that it's a travesty. It's a travesty with even thinking about that no federal employee on the federal till should be involved in some union, some bargaining powers, because they're working for you, the taxpayer. Right. They're working for the American citizen. And so if they have that kind of power, then they're legislating to you. They're telling you, based on their union bargainings, the federal government. You're looking at, you know, postal unions. You're looking at, you know, all these unions in the federal government, and that was given because people wanted power. You know, the more you give, and they say that a democracy ends once the people find out that they can vote themselves treasures out of the coffers of their nation, out of the treasury of their nation. It was said, in the 1800s, and so here it is. And so when you think federal union, you're thinking, what you think about this, that means that they can determine what their wage is going to be. They can determine what their health care plan is going to be. And they could tell the person that you elected that you have to pay us this amount of money and you can't fire us.
Right.
And so then the one that you actually represent you is now representing the union. And they're going to come back to you and say, listen to their constituents, I'm going to have to raise your taxes because, you know, these are federal employees and they have a union. And they're the ones in power here. And we have to, you know, that's the federal law says that they have a right now to be able to do that. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Bubba's got, like, he's the one running the country. He's like, because he's determined these huge pay packages. I mean, they say the average pay for federal employees is like $75,000. The average.
Wow.
And that's taxpayer money. And if it, you know, if you needed, if you need federal employees, that's one thing. But having a unionized federal employee, which means they tell your elected officials how, in a long, a roundabout way, is how much they're going to have to come tell you how much they need to raise the taxes to be able to sustain their desired income and their desired health care plan.
Mm.
And that's it. This is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't think about that when you, if you're not paying close attention. But remember, it's a government by the people for the people. So you need to be, you need to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really that's in a union complains about a union.
No, not
it's amazing how it works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, when the federal government, I'm just totally outside, I'm talking specifically about federal government, you know, that as a Christian, you know, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to submit to our bosses as unto the Lord. And if they don't pay us right, you know, James writes about that, our the wages they fail to pay us cry out against them before God. But we're not supposed to force their hand and make them pay us. But God will, you know, God will. But he says very specifically, he'll take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, you know, there's evil people and people do things, but you can, in America, you can change jobs.
That's right.
You can change jobs. But forcing your employer to pay you money when there was a day that you didn't have a job and that you said, man, I sure do need a job, and you went through, you know, monster search, or you went something out your resumes, and you went and talked to all your friends and families, where most people get jobs through references to people.
Right.
And then you get hired up, and you were so humble that day, you were so grateful that you got a job, and you're telling everybody at your church gathering, I just want to thank the Lord that, you know, God provided for me. He did. And now, like 6 months later, you're telling them how to run the company. You're complaining about the benefits plan. Mm-hmm. You're saying that your hourly wage is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're saying that you should be treated better, that there's partiality in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what happened to the gratitude?
Yep.
What happened to the man and the woman that was sitting there shaking at the interview, hoping that they would get the job, not knowing if they would get it or not?
That's right.
Where did the pride come from? You know, and now it increased from there to finally people say, you know what? We need to unionize. We need to tell these people. It's like, there was a day you didn't have a job, you know?
That's right.
And now there's many days and many people don't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we should not have strong-hand our employer. Maybe we shouldn't have tied their hands and say, you owe me, you know, and now we allow that. And now it's happening in the government. It's happening everywhere.
Right.
And where's the gratitude for the man or the woman who painstakingly laid out the foundation and believed for a business and hammered it out and many times for years just paid the employees, not even themselves. And now there's something that's been going for some time that you show up at this particular business, but you don't understand. It started from an idea. It started from a word. It started from somebody that was brave enough to try and do something. And now you're working for what was an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody that just hammered out and did the groundwork, the entrepreneurial spirit in America, that people who don't live in America that are wanting to come here to be able to do that now. This generation just wanting to show up as somebody and exist in somebody else's entrepreneurial benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell them how to do it. It's like, that's just so offensive to the person who you know, needed to hire employees because their idea grew so big and so large that they needed to give you a job and help you with your family.
Right.
And you work, they pay you, and that's it.
That's it.
You know, and if you don't like that arrangement, then you go, you know what, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks notice and I'm out of here. And so, but now we turn into this everybody's like, cords tying everybody to everybody. And now it looks like that's manifesting spiritually where the government is now going to tie themselves to the people.
Mm.
You know? And there is no bargaining. I mean, the Lord says, come and reason with me, but he's not saying, come and change my word. He says, okay, there'll be another way to me other than through Jesus. I mean, he's not going to say that.
Right.
Mm-mm. He's going to let you know about his mercy and his grace and his love for you and his willingness to forgive you. And, you know, that's reasoning with God. And, but it's not, there's no bargaining,
right?
You know? And so I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, be thankful and grateful for your job. You know, God blesses the work of your hands,
right?
You know, and as you're working, just thank God for it. And if you need a job, change your perspective, change your perspective to where, Lord, if you give me a job, I'll be grateful for it. And I'll write this statement down and pin it to the wall so I can look at it for the next 10 years. And if I ever start complaining, Lord, remind me about it, that I didn't have one before I asked you for one.
That's right.
And the Lord, you know, spoke to me early on when all this stuff started to unfold. And of course, when you're speaking prophetically, people think you're losing it. How could this be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a hand, it's writing on the wall, it's not good. Party, you know. And the one thing that the Lord had on my heart was there'll be a day that a man, a CEO who formerly wore a suit, will be working in Walmart.
Walmart, yeah.
And he'll, which is a big adjustment, and he'll be grateful.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
There
it's
you
yours.
Go.
Have yes. it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.